My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself. Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more. Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some stories don't begin with a single moment. They don't start with a scream, or a shadow, or a thing glimpsed in the corner of the eye. Some stories begin with a long, quiet hum in the background of someone's life, something subtle, something constant, something that waits. For her, the haunting hadn't been a chapter. It was the atmosphere she'd breathed since childhood, as natural to her as family, as sleep, as memory. A strange inheritance that belonged only to her, even though others in her bloodline shared the gift, or the curse. It had always been hard to tell the difference. Now 24, she could trace the path of her life by the spirits she'd seen along the way. She didn't exaggerate or embellish. She never needed to. The truth was unnerving enough on its own. She heard them, she felt them, and she saw them in full detail, clothing, posture, height, every part of a body except the one feature that would have made them human. The face was always blurred, always absent, as if whatever stood in front of her didn't want to be recognized or wasn't allowed to be. From the time she was 5 or 6, she knew her world was different from the world other children lived in. Most kids feared the dark because they imagined monsters in it. She feared the dark because she didn't have to imagine anything. The house her family lived in back then wasn't old enough to feel haunted. No creaking boards, no peeling wallpaper, no sagging roof. It was just a normal little place in a normal little neighborhood. But at night, the normality peeled away, and every night, without fail, the same sound bled through the walls of her bedroom. Men laughing. Not the laughter of a sitcom or a party drifting in through an open window. No, this laughter was inside the room, right there in the corner near the window, a cluster of deep voices chuckling, muttering, almost celebrating something she couldn't see. It never sounded evil. But it was wrong. Joy that didn't belong to the living had a different kind of weight, something hollow, something cold, and the cold. That was the part that terrified her the most. The air in her room would drop without warning, like a winter gust had blown straight through her. The faucets would turn on by themselves. Kitchen sink, bathroom sink, it didn't matter. The kettle would switch on at midnight. Little things that felt harmless on their own, but together added up to something deeply, deeply wrong. Her family tried to ignore it. tried to brush it off as plumbing issues, wiring problems, her imagination. But she knew better. The house next door practically vibrated with darkness. The neighbors spoke casually, too casually, about demons, about photographs that wouldn't burn, about tragedies stacked on tragedies, like a curse that had grown roots. The boy who lived there had been shot by accident. A year later, on the exact same night, at the exact same time, his sister shot herself, though she survived, blind but alive. Their family spoke of burned images that refused to turn to ash, things in their house that didn't go quiet just because no one wanted to hear them. She believed even now that something in that house had seeped into theirs, that whatever hunted their neighbors didn't care about property lines or fences or whose house was whose. Eventually, her family moved. They didn't explain the decision. They didn't need to. But the spirits didn't leave with the old house. Years later, in a church-owned home, a new figure appeared. This one didn't laugh or turn on faucets or linger in corners. This one was bold, visible, solid. She woke one night to find a man standing at the foot of her bed, dressed exactly as her grandfather had been dressed earlier that day. She should have screamed, but she couldn't. Her limbs were frozen, her breath caught in her throat. Even her eyes felt pinned open. She couldn't move, couldn't speak. Only after he vanished, disappearing without a step, without a sound, did her body unlock, like invisible hands releasing her all at once. She ran to check on her grandfather. He was asleep in another room, alive, breathing. When she told her mother had only one explanation. Maybe it was your guardian angel. But guardian angels didn't hold you down. They didn't paralyze you. They didn't stand silent at the foot of your bed wearing borrowed clothes and leave you terrified of sleep. She never saw that figure again. But the next one stayed for years. She was older by then, old enough to question her own mind, old enough to try rationalizing things away. But there was no rational explanation for the man in her aunt's house, since he was always there, watching her from doorways, standing in the kitchen when she sat in the lounge, sliding down the hallway whenever she stepped toward him. It was like he was pacing her movements, staying just far enough away to avoid confrontation, but never far enough to pretend he wasn't real. He didn't have a face, just a tall shadow with glowing green eyes, an unnatural neon color that hovered in the darkness like two tiny lanterns. One night, when the power went out, she walked out of the bathroom and he was there. Not in the corner and not down the hall, right in front of her, blocking the doorway. And she could not see her own hand in front of her face, but she could see him, black, tall, a solid shadow, in an ocean of darkness and worse. She felt herself lift off the ground just a fraction. Just enough to lose balance, just enough to know he wasn't staying on his side of the hallway anymore. She couldn't scream, couldn't breathe. She didn't know if she passed out or if he simply let go, but suddenly she was on her feet again. The lights flickered back on, and the shadow was gone. Her aunt didn't look shocked when she finally told her, just nodded. "He never leaves," her aunt said. "He's always been here." But something strange happened when she moved out. The shadow left too, and that was when she realized the truth. He hadn't been haunting the house since he'd been haunting her. She didn't understand the extent of it. Not yet. Not when she left her aunt's home, not when the shadow vanished with her, and not when life carried her forward into adulthood. But the pattern was already forming. Wherever she went, whatever roof she slept under, whatever room she tried to make her own, something followed. And she always felt it before she saw it. After her son was born, that sensitivity sharpened. Maybe it was motherhood that did it. The instinct to protect, the constant awareness of every creak in the house, every shift in the air, every slightest movement that might threaten a child, or maybe it was simply time. A haunting that had lingered on the periphery of her life was finally stepping closer. The house she lived in now wasn't old or broken or abandoned like the places people usually whisper about. It was normal, suburban, carpeted, full of the small comforts that come with raising a baby with someone you love. But spirits didn't need peeling wallpaper or rotting floorboards. They didn't rely on atmosphere. They followed energy. They followed people. And they followed her. The first time she saw the man with the dog and the cat, she genuinely thought her eyes were playing tricks on her. It happened in her boyfriend's mother's room, of all places. Hardly the location you expect a parade of spirits. She'd been sitting on the bed, rocking her almost one-year-old, when movement tugged the corner of her vision. A small shape darted through the doorway. A cat. Then a dog. Larger, heavier, but moving with a slow trot that made no sound. And behind them, a man. Not walking, not stepping. Floating from the knees down, as if the lower half of his body dissolved into some soft gray mist, he drifted into the bathroom like it was a daily routine. The animals followed, and then they vanished. No footsteps, no voices, no trace, just gone. The strange thing wasn't that she saw them once, or twice. The strange thing was how frequently they appeared, every few minutes, as if caught in some endless loop. The cat always went first, the dog second, the man last. Always the same rhythm, always the same path. It was too consistent for imagination, too structured for coincidence. The more she watched, the clearer the details became. The way the man's clothing hung from his shoulders, the shape of his hands, the curve of his posture. She could see everything except the one thing she always hoped to glimpse. The face. That part remained blurred, erased. The old woman came next, another spirit who made herself known without hesitation. One day, while standing at the kitchen counter making bottles for her son, she caught the woman's reflection in the window, not a quick flash, not a shifting shadow. A full figure standing at the far end of the lounge, facing her with calm, steady attention. Hair pinned in a tight bun. Soft wrinkles at the corners of her mouth, a cardigan layered over a long skirt. The kind of woman you might expect to see knitting or reading or tending a garden in the afternoon sun, except this woman didn't move, didn't blink, didn't breathe, and she never left the lounge, not once. The man drifted, the animals patrolled, but the woman stayed exactly where she wanted to be, watching with that soft, silent expression that somehow unnerved her. More than the shadow with the green eyes ever had. The worst sensation came from the ceiling. The access hole to the roof, the square cutout in the hallway, was nothing more than a simple architectural feature for most people. But for her, it felt like an IA permanent gaze fixed on her as she walked beneath it. Every time she passed the hallway, the back of her neck prickled. Goosebumps rose. She felt watched from above, as though something crouched just beyond the opening, waiting for the right moment to reveal itself. And her baby. That was what frightened her the most. They say infants see beyond the veil, that they notice things adults have trained themselves to ignore, that their eyes track things we don't acknowledge. And her son did exactly that. He would sit up in his crib and point at the corner of the room, smile, giggle, babble to empty air. Sometimes he waved, sometimes he reached both hands upward, as if asking someone unseen to pick him up. And when she followed his gaze, there was nothing there, at least nothing her mind was willing to register. That was when the windows started changing. She'd catch shapes on the glass, a warped outline of a face pressed against it like someone had leaned too close. The smear stayed no matter how many times she wiped it, gone one minute, back the next. Only she could see it. Her boyfriend didn't see it. His parents didn't see it. No one else noticed the twisted reflections that rippled across the surface like trapped expressions. The mirrors behaved the same way. She would wipe a tiny handprint away. Her baby's, she assumed. And the next morning, it would be back in the exact same spot, even though her child hadn't touched the mirror again. She started sleeping with the TV on. She didn't like the dark anymore, not because she feared it, but because the darkness was where the spirits pressed closest, where they chose to stand near her bed, where they hovered at her shoulder as she drifted toward sleep. Her boyfriend never witnessed any of it. The activity paused when he entered a room. The shadows retreated, the sounds quieted. The faces disappeared from the glass. It was like the house changed when he was present, like whatever clung to her wanted her alone, wanted her frightened, wanted her attention. At night, when she was in the kitchen preparing bottles, she'd hear things falling in her bedroom, heavy thuds, like something dropping from a shelf. Every instinct told her to run, terrified that her baby had fallen off the bed. But when she rushed down the hallway, heart pounding, breath caught. Her son was always asleep, always safe, always untouched. Nothing in the room had fallen, nothing in the room had moved. The sound was a lure, a call, a trick to bring her closer. That was what made it terrifying. It didn't just appear, it tried to interact. The breaking point came only 2 days ago. She was asleep. Deep asleep. The kind of sleep her exhausted body rarely managed anymore. And suddenly she woke with the unmistakable sensation that she wasn't alone. There, directly in front of the bed, a shadow drifted back and forth, slow, methodical, floating rather than stepping. It glided from one side of the room to the other as if patrolling, as if studying her, as if deciding something. A sharp popping sound echoed in the bedrooms nearby, loud staccato bursts like knuckles cracking or joints snapping or wood splitting under pressure. The sound didn't move. It didn't travel down the hallway and came from both rooms at once, popping in short, uneven intervals. The moment the shadow slipped out of her bedroom, the popping stopped, cut off like a switch. She lay there frozen, listening to her heartbeat thrum against the silence. The man, the animals, the woman in the lounge, they all had a faint glow to them, a shine. The man, dog, and cat were surrounded by a dark, shimmering aura. The old woman was wrapped in a soft gray that clung to her like dust. But this shadow, this one had no glow, no colors, no boundary, but just darkness, pure and deliberate. And she knew, finally, painfully, that whatever haunted her was not bound to a house, not tied to a room, not part of a loop or a memory or a leftover soul. It was attached to her. The realization didn't bring relief. It didn't bring clarity. It brought a tightening in her chest that lingered long after the shadow slipped out of the room. Because there was a difference between living in a haunted house and living as the thing being haunted. She lay awake for hours after that, staring at the ceiling, waiting for the next sound. Every shift in the mattress made her breath hitch. Every gust of wind outside sent her pulse racing. She wasn't someone who scared easily. She lived through this her whole life, after all. But motherhood sharpened her fear into something carved from instinct. It wasn't her safety she worried about anymore. It was her baby's. The next morning, she tried to convince herself that exhaustion had played tricks on her mind, that maybe she hadn't fully woken up when she saw the floating shape, that the popping sounds had come from settling wood or an appliance switching on. But the house felt different, heavier, as though whatever she saw the night before had moved deeper into the walls, into the corners, into the dark spaces between breaths. She carried her son to the kitchen and stood by the counter making his morning bottle, and as soon as she lifted her eyes, she gasped. There, in the reflection of the kitchen window, the old woman stood exactly where she always had. But this time, her head was turned toward her, staring directly into her. No soft gaze, no grandmotherly warmth, just a cold, expressionless focus. She blinked, hard, but the woman didn't vanish, didn't shift, didn't fade. She simply watched. Behind her, her baby babbled happily, reaching towards something only he could see. He giggled, his tiny finger pointing toward the empty air, toward the room behind her. Her stomach knotted. She turned. Nothing. When she looked back at the window, the woman was gone. Moments like that chipped away at her calm. Her family didn't believe her. They didn't understand what she meant when she said, "I see them." They thought she meant flickers of movement, imagination, shadows. They never grasped that she saw these spirits in full detail, clothing sharp, posture clear, hair arranged, skin textured, everything except the face, everything except the part that would make them human. Her boyfriend tried to understand, but he didn't see what she saw. When he was around, the activity slowed, sometimes stopped completely. Spirits didn't heed from him. Out of fear, they hid out of purpose. They wanted her isolated, vulnerable, alone, and that thought frightened her. More than anything she'd seen so far, she tried to push the fear down, tried to pray, tried to attend church, even when her body felt wrung out from sleepless nights. She didn't like admitting fear, not even to herself. She'd survived too much. Too many years, too many homes, too many spirits pressing against her life like fingers against glass. She wasn't weak, but fear doesn't need weakness to take root. It just needs silence, and most of her haunting happened in silence. The next incident didn't come as a vision. It came as a sound. One night, while she was in the kitchen preparing bottles before sleep, she heard something crash in her bedroom. Hard, heavy, like a shelf falling or a body hitting the floor. Panic exploded inside her. Her baby! She sprinted down the passage, heart hammering, breath shallow, only to fling open the door and find him lying peacefully in the center of the bed, blankets barely disturbed. The room was untouched. Nothing had fallen, nothing had moved. But the sound had been real, loud, purposeful, a lure. She clutched the edge of the crib, her legs shaking. Her boyfriend's side of the bed remained empty. He was still in the living room. As always, the spirit waited. Until she was alone. As always, it mimicked danger only long enough for her to run toward it. She backed slowly out of the room, never breaking eye contact with the darkened corners. The air felt charged, like static waiting for the spark. And then it came. A soft shuffle, a whisper of movement behind her. She turned, nothing, but the air shifted. That same cold ripple from childhood swept through her, raising the hair on her arms. She whispered a tiny prayer, one she hadn't used in years. For protection, for safety, for my child. The hallway felt tighter that night. The roof access above her felt alive again, as though someone leaned over the edge, watching her from the shadows just beyond sight. Not moving, not reaching, just waiting. 2 days later was the breaking point. The night that made everything sink into the pit of her stomach. She'd fallen asleep finally, exhausted, drained, barely able to keep her eyes open after so many sleepless nights. And then she woke with the sharp, sickening certainty that she wasn't alone. Her eyes adjusted slowly, and there it was, the shadow. Back again. Floating inches above the ground, drifting from one side of the room to the other, in slow, rhythmic passes, like a metronome of dread, like it was pacing, studying, deciding. The air around her felt thick, charged with a presence that pressed against her skin like humidity. She couldn't move, not from fear, though fear was there, cold and tight, but because something kept her frozen in place. A popping came from the other bedrooms, not random cracking, not the house settling. This was controlled, timed, deliberate, pop, pop, pop. Short bursts of sound like something flexing its joints, like knuckles snapping right beside someone's ear. Her breath came shallow. Tears pricked her eyes, not from terror, but from the overwhelming realization that this thing wasn't wandering her home aimlessly. It was pacing. It was signaling, it was claiming, and then without warning, the shadow drifted out of her room and the popping stopped instantly. Cut off mid-sound, but the silence that followed was suffocating. The next morning, she stared at her reflection, pale and exhausted and marked with the kind of fear that didn't show bruises, the man, the woman, the animals, the shimmering shadow with no face. They had always followed her, but this was different. This one wasn't just watching. This one was taking steps. She thought about her baby, his smiles at empty air, his pointing fingers, his fascination with corners no child should be interested in. She replayed every unexplained sound, every sensation in the hallway, every moment she'd heard something move when no one else was home. She remembered the paralysis as a child when the figure stood at the foot of her bed. She remembered the shadow with green eyes that lifted her off the ground. She remembered the laughter in her childhood home, the voices, the taps turning on by themselves. It all came together in one chilling truth. It was never the houses, and it was her. Her family thought she was imagining things. Her boyfriend tried to help but couldn't see what she saw, and she didn't care anymore if people believed her or not because belief didn't keep spirits away. But vigilance might, strength might, her love for her child absolutely would. She sat down that evening, her baby curled in her lap, his little fingers wrapped around hers, and she made a quiet promise to herself, to him, to whatever had followed her across houses and years and thresholds. "You don't get him," she whispered into the dimly lit room. "You don't get my child. You don't even get me." Her voice didn't shake. For the first time in days, the house felt utterly still. The spirits lingered, those familiar figures she could see, but never fully know. But the shadow. It didn't show itself that night or the next, but she knew better than to think it was gone. Hauntings didn't end because someone demanded it. They ended because the entity had taken what it wanted, or it hadn't yet made its next move. And as she held her baby close and rocked him gently, she felt the subtle awareness crawl across her skin once more. Not from the room, not from the hallway, not from the ceiling above, from the space just beyond her vision, waiting, watching, choosing its moment. Because it wasn't finished with her, and it absolutely wasn't finished with what it wanted next.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.